First, our question of the day. Who is the only president in Haiti's history to win a democratic election, serve a full term, and peacefully hand power to a successor? Stay tuned for the answer to that question and more about Haiti's elections. In December 2005, Henry Liu wrote that, quote, "International civil servants and police officers have been trying to nation-build by constructing new make-believe ministries, a demoralized bureaucracy, dysfunctional courts, foreign-controlled customs, and a militarized police force that answers to foreign commands, as well as a new media orchestrated to spread pro-West propaganda. Estimates of unemployment range from 30 to 70%. The economy continues to shrink every year." End quote. Liu might have been talking about Haiti, or Afghanistan, or Iraq. This time, though, he was describing Kosovo. Liu describes what he calls Clinton's foreign policy delusions, which took the form of, quote, "an ambitious but futile nation-building experiment implemented by a United Nations mission exercising dictatorial authority to implement democracy, backed by a NATO-led peacekeeping force." End quote. Liu puts peacekeeping in quotation marks to suggest that peacekeeping has never been NATO's job. It's not what the UN has been doing in Haiti either. The similarity of Clinton's policy delusions in Kosovo to Bush's policy delusions in Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Haiti is no coincidence. James Dobbin, who is a former U.S. special envoy to Somalia, Haiti, Bosnia, Kosovo, and Afghanistan, describes nation-building as, quote, "the use of armed force in the aftermath of a conflict to underpin an enduring transition to democracy," end quote. He calls it the inescapable responsibility of the world's only superpower. That's why the UN refers to those troops the Canadian media still like to call peacekeepers as a stabilization force. In Haiti, the election took place on Tuesday, February 7th. In less than a week, front-running René Préval's charge of election fraud brought thousands of protesters into the streets. Two of the protesters were killed and many more injured as the UN attempted to control the crowd. UN spokesman David Wimhurst denied that the UN Stabilization Force had fired into the crowd. Then he chastised Préval and the protesters, saying that their allegations were inflammatory and did not help to stabilize the situation. Quote, "I think they are stirring up trouble," Wimhurst said. "People are making gratuitous claims that are unfounded, and of course the people who voted for the number one candidate are being agitated and organized to go on these demonstrations and put up these roadblocks, and it's causing chaos in the city and preventing MINUSTAH, the UN Stabilization Force, from doing its work, and the electoral machine from operating properly. Demonstrating is just slowing things down. It does not help at all," he said. But Wimhurst was talking through his hat. The citizens of Haiti did not prevent the election machine from operating properly. These presidential elections had already been postponed four times. You won't find it in the commercial media, but Wikinews reported on Christmas Eve, just a few weeks before the fourth postponement, that only 500,000 of the 3.5 million voter identification cards had been handed out, and few of the 40,000 needed poll workers had been recruited. Canada contributed $30 million to the international financing of the election, but in December, while it was still believed that they would be held on January the 8th, one presidential candidate, Evans Paul, complained, quote, "I've never seen elections so poorly organized. It's not acceptable," he said, "that people have to struggle for hours in line to register. They have to do the same to get the voting cards, and now they have to walk 6 hours to reach a place to cast their ballots." End quote. Once the polls had taken place, suspicion of electoral fraud spread through the political community. Third-place candidate Charles Baker and two election officials made separate statements to the press saying they suspected the voting irregularities and wanted to launch an investigation. On Monday, a week after the poll, candidate Preval said, quote, "We are convinced there was massive fraud and gross errors that affected the process," end quote. A few hours later, tens of thousands of burnt and still smoldering ballots, many cast for Preval a week before, were found in a Port-au-Prince garbage dump. Rosamond Pradel, Secretary General of the Provisional Electoral Council, immediately promised an investigation. He said securing the ballots after they had been cast was the responsibility of the 9,000-member UN Stabilization Force. Canada sent more than 100 monitors to oversee the vote and 100 police officers, one of whom was shot dead last month, to help train Haitian police. Despite similar contributions from other donor nations, the Council on Hemispheric Affairs notes that no serious irregularities were reported by international election observers. By midweek, the Provisional Electoral Council, leaders of René Préval's L'Espoir Party and La Tortue's interim government, had met in a marathon negotiating session with representatives from the United Nations Stabilization Mission in Haiti, the Organization of American States, and the ambassadors from the United States, France, Canada, Brazil, and Chile to cut a deal. Whether from guile or incompetence, no one can say, but not one of the 32 other candidates in the election was included in these negotiations. Then, in the middle of the night, the embattled Provisional Electoral Council issued a statement. René Préval has been declared the winner with 51%, it said. So now Préval, who had been Haiti's president from 1996 to 2001 and was the only president in the country's 202-year history to win a democratic election, serve a full term, and peacefully hand power to a successor, is president again. Not everyone is happy with the deal. The New York Times refers to the fragile nature of the agreement. COHA's report warns that the total lack of regularity in the proceedings could provide Préval's opponents, both in Haiti and in Washington, with good reason to later undermine his government in the same way that those forces combined to topple Aristide. Human rights advocate Jean-Claude Bajeux said, "All the efforts we made for a democratic transition could be lost. We are going right back to where we have always been, where the crowds on the street, not elections, have the last say. We are close to losing an historic opportunity." U.S. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who represents Los Angeles County and is a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, recognized the consequences right away. The effect of the deal in which Préval was declared the victor was to hand the real power back to Haiti's moneyed elite. In a hopeful article for Alternet, she wrote, "If the wealthy elites of Haiti are willing to accept the outcome of this election and allow President-elect Préval to govern, Haiti may be able to move forward and the Haitian people will finally have the democracy they deserve." Industrialist Charles Baker, who is considered the main candidate of the wealthy elite and who had been running a distant third to Préval with 7.9% of the vote, said he was caught off guard by the deal. "We thought we were in a democratic process and everybody would observe the rules," Baker told Reuters, claiming the final deal violated the electoral law. Leslie Manigat, who came a distant second in the election, with just under 12% of the vote, claimed he had been robbed of the chance to face off with Préval in a second round of voting and emphasized that he reserved the right to contest the decision. He said the decision to declare Préval elected was, quote, "the imposition of a victor," which he blamed on, quote, "national and international forces." Violence has just been rewarded, he said, after electoral authorities changed the way ballots were counted and declared that Préval had won. He dismissed Préval as, quote, this candidate who has imposed his will, and called the decision to declare him president an electoral coup d'etat. In the words of the COHA report, the voting fiasco, which saw tens of thousands of ballots ending up in a dump, illustrated once again how unprofessional the UN stabilization mission, MINUSTA, on the island has turned out to be when it comes to guaranteeing even the most basic requirements for stability and democracy. And the Christian Science Monitor began its editorial like this: U.S. officials may be little happier with the results of the presidential election in Haiti than they were when Palestinians voted the militant Hamas movement into power last month. Liu concluded that the kind of democracy being introduced by the U.S. more represents Boss Tweed than George Washington. That's it for this Monday. If you'd like to suggest a story or comment about anything you hear on World Report, email Earthling, that's EARTHLING, at netidea.com. Put World Report in the subject line to make sure I don't mistake your message for spam. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.